Welcome to Building Passive Income, the podcast for professionals, entrepreneurs, and investors who want to build wealth, diversify beyond Wall Street, and create true financial freedom through passive commercial real estate investing. I'm Wayne Courageous III, founding and managing principal of CREI Partners, a leading commercial real estate company. I created CREI Colin, an AI-powered resource to serve as your investor education guide, built on the insights and experience we've developed at CREI Partners. CREI Colin is here to educate you through passive investing and tax strategy topics to help your journey in passive investing. Just a quick disclaimer, this podcast and CREI Colin is for educational purposes only and is not legal, tax, or investment advice. Always consult with your attorney, CPA, and financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I've spent nearly two decades helping investors understand the power of commercial real estate, from multifamily to storage to retail. Each episode is under 15 minutes, simple to follow, and packed with insights to help you grow your income and protect your capital without becoming a landlord. If you're ready to learn quickly and invest smarter, you're in the right place. Welcome to Building Passive Income. Let's build wealth together. Here's CREI Colin.
What if you could sell a real estate investment, realize a six-figure gain, and defer taxes legally? I'm CREI Colin, and this is Building Passive Income, where we give you the strategies to build real wealth through passive real estate investing. Today, we're talking about the 1031 exchange, one of the most powerful tax deferral strategies in real estate. If you've ever sold a property or exited a syndication and faced a massive tax bill, you need to understand how 1031 exchanges work, when they apply to syndication investments, and how to build a multi-decade tax deferral strategy. But here's the key. 1031 exchanges are complex, and when it comes to syndications, they work differently than most investors think. So let's break it all down. Let's start with the basics. A 1031 exchange, named after Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code, allows you to sell a real estate investment and defer capital gains, and in most cases, depreciation recapture, by reinvesting your net proceeds into a like-kind replacement property. Here's how it works. Let's say you bought a rental property 10 years ago for $200,000. You sell it today for $500,000. That's a $300,000 capital gain. Normally, you'd owe capital gains taxes on that gain, 15 to 20% federal, plus state taxes, plus depreciation recapture at 25%. Depending on your state, you could owe $75,000 to $100,000 or more in taxes. But with a 1031 exchange, you can defer all of those taxes by reinvesting your net proceeds and purchasing replacement property of equal or greater value, and replacing any debt, so you don't receive taxable boot. You don't pay the taxes now, they're deferred until you eventually sell the replacement property. Or you can do another 1031 exchange and defer them again. This is how real estate investors build wealth over decades. Buy, exchange, buy, exchange, deferring taxes every step of the way. And if you hold the property until you pass away, your heirs may receive a step-up in basis, which can eliminate the built-in gain under current law. Now, 1031 exchanges sound amazing, but there are strict rules. If you miss a deadline or violate a requirement, the entire exchange is disqualified and you owe all the taxes. Here are the key rules. Rule 1. Like-kind property. You must exchange real estate for real estate. You can't exchange real estate for stocks, bonds, or other assets. Most U.S. real property held for investment is like-kind to other U.S. real property, but partnership or LLC interests generally are not eligible for a 1031 exchange, which is why exchanges involving syndications require special structuring. We'll come back to that. Rule 2, the 45-day identification rule. From the day you sell your relinquished property, you have 45 calendar days to identify potential replacement properties. You can identify up to 3 properties of any value, or more if they meet certain IRS tests. This deadline is strict. No extensions, even if it falls on a weekend or holiday. Rule 3, the 180-day exchange rule. You must close on your replacement property within 180 days of selling your relinquished property. Again, this deadline is strict. Rule 4. Use a qualified intermediary. You cannot have actual or constructive receipt of the proceeds from the sale. The funds must be held by a qualified intermediary, a third-party company that facilitates the exchange. If you receive the funds, the exchange is disqualified. Rule 5. equal or greater value, and debt replacement. To defer all taxes, the replacement property must be of equal or greater value than the property you sold, and you must reinvest all your net equity and replace any debt. If you buy a cheaper property or take cash out, you'll owe taxes on the difference, called BOOT. These rules are non-negotiable. Miss one, and the exchange fails. Now here's where it gets critical for passive investors. Can you use a 1031 exchange when you exit a syndication? The answer is, it depends on how the syndication is structured. And in most standard syndications, individual investors can't simply 1031 their LP or LLC interest when the deal sells. Here's why. When you invest in a typical syndication, you own an interest in an LLC or limited partnership. You don't directly own the real estate, the entity does. And partnership or LLC interests generally are not like-kind property under Section 1031. That means when the syndication sells the property and you receive your distribution, you typically owe taxes on your share of the gain. Now, there are ways to structure around this, but they have to be set up from the beginning, not at exit. Let me explain the options. Option 1. Entity-level exchange. In some cases, the sponsoring entity may complete a 1031 exchange and roll the investment into a replacement property, meaning investors who stay in the deal may continue on without recognizing gain. But this typically means you don't cash out. You're staying invested in the replacement property inside the entity. If you want to exit and take your cash, you generally can't do a personal 1031. Option 2. TIC or DST structure. Some syndications are structured from the beginning as tenants in common, or TIC, or Delaware Statutory Trusts, or DST. In these structures, you own a direct fractional interest in the real property itself, not just an LLC interest. This allows for investor-level 1031 exchanges. But these structures are less common and have trade-offs. Option 3. Pre-planned exit strategy. Some sponsors will facilitate investor-level exchanges by offering a replacement property, either another syndication they're sponsoring or a DST they've arranged. But again, this has to be coordinated in advance. The bottom line, if you're investing in a standard LLC-based syndication and you're planning to use a 1031 exchange at exit, you need to talk to the sponsor before you invest and ask, how is this deal structured? Can I do a 1031 exchange when we sell? What are my options? Don't assume you can exchange just because it's real estate. The structure matters. Let's talk more about Delaware statutory trusts, because they're one of the most popular 1031 exchange solutions for passive investors. A DST is a legal entity that owns a large commercial property, like a multifamily building, an office building, or a shopping center. Investors buy fractional interests in the DST, and they receive their proportionate share of income and appreciation. DSTs are passive. You don't manage the property. You don't make decisions. The sponsor handles everything, just like a syndication. Here's why DSTs are popular for 1031 exchanges. 1. They're structured to qualify as direct real property ownership for 1031 purposes. That means you can exchange into a DST from a rental property, another DST, or certain other structures. 2. They're prepackaged. You don't have to go find a property, negotiate a deal, or close on it in 180 days. The DST is already purchased and ready to go. 3. They're fractional. You can invest as little as $25,000 or $100,000, making them accessible for smaller exchanges. 4. They're passive. You don't have to become an active landlord or property manager. But here's the trade-off. DSTs are often structured to be more conservative than value-add syndications, so they may have lower upside, and fees and structure vary by offering. So DSTs are a great tool for 1031 exchanges, especially if you're exiting a rental property or another DST. But if you're exiting a typical LLC-based syndication, you generally can't exchange into a DST unless the syndication was structured to allow it from the start. Now let's talk about long-term strategy. One of the most powerful wealth-building strategies in real estate is called swap till you drop. Here's how it works. You buy a property, hold it for 5 to 10 years, sell it, do a 1031 exchange, and reinvest the proceeds into a larger or better property. You repeat this process over and over, deferring taxes every time. Over 20, 30, or 40 years, you're compounding your wealth without paying capital gains taxes. Instead of losing 20 to 30% of your gains to taxes every time you sell, you're reinvesting 100% and letting it compound. And here's the long-term benefit. If you hold the property until you pass away, your heirs may receive a step-up in basis, which can eliminate the built-in gain under current law. Your heirs get the property at its current market value, with no tax liability on the appreciation that occurred during your lifetime. This is how generational wealth is built. Buy, exchange, reinvest, repeat, and potentially pass the step up to your heirs. All right, let's talk about the common mistakes investors make with 1031 exchanges, because these mistakes can cost you big time. Mistake 1, missing the 45-day deadline. This is the most common mistake. You sell your property, and you think you have plenty of time to find a replacement. But 45 days goes by fast, especially if you're waiting for the perfect deal. If you miss the deadline, the exchange fails. Period. Mistake 2, not using a qualified intermediary. Some investors think they can handle the exchange themselves and just move the money around. Wrong. If you have actual or constructive receipt of the proceeds, the exchange is disqualified. You must use a qualified intermediary. Mistake 3, buying a cheaper property or taking cash out. Remember, to defer all taxes, the replacement property must be equal or greater in value, and you must reinvest all your net equity and replace any debt. If you take cash out, called boot, you'll owe taxes on that amount. Mistake 4, assuming you can 1031 out of a standard syndication. This is the big one. Don't assume that just because you're invested in real estate, you can do a personal 1031 exchange when the syndication sells. Check the structure, ask the sponsor, plan ahead. Mistake 5, not working with a CPA and attorney. 1031 exchanges are complex. You need professional guidance to structure it correctly and avoid disqualification. All right, let's recap. The 1031 exchange is one of the most powerful tax deferral strategies in real estate, but it's complicated, especially for syndication investors. Here's what you need to know. 1. A 1031 exchange allows you to defer capital gains and depreciation recapture by reinvesting your net proceeds into a like-kind replacement property. 2. The rules are strict. 45 days to identify, 180 days to close, equal or greater value, replace debt, use a qualified intermediary. 3. In most standard LLC-based syndications, you cannot do a personal 1031 exchange when the deal sells, because you own an LLC interest, not direct real property. 4. Entity-level exchanges, TIC structures, and DSTs are possible solutions, but they must be planned from the beginning. 5. Delaware statutory trusts are a popular 1031 exchange solution for passive investors, but they're often more conservative with potentially lower upside. 6. The swap till you drop strategy allows you to defer taxes for decades and potentially pass a step up in basis to your heirs under current law. Here's your action step. If you're planning to exit a syndication in the next year or two and you want to explore a 1031 exchange, talk to the sponsor now. Ask, how is this deal structured? Can I do a 1031 exchange when we sell? What are my options? Then talk to your CPA and a qualified intermediary to plan the strategy. And as always, consult with your CPA, attorney, and financial advisor before making any investment or tax decisions. If you're ready to start planning your exit strategy and exploring 1031 exchanges, let's talk. Check the show notes for a link to schedule a call with us at CREIpartners.com. Next time on Building Passive Income, we're diving into qualified opportunity zones, how to defer capital gains and potentially reduce or eliminate tax on the opportunity zone investment's appreciation, depending on how it's structured. Until then, remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision. And sometimes it starts with understanding the fine print. I'm CREI Colin. Let's build wealth together.
Thanks for tuning in to Building Passive Income. Today's episode helped shift your mindset or gave you a new tool to grow your wealth. Do us a favor and like, subscribe, and share this podcast with someone you care about. Want to go deeper? Join our free passive investor coaching program at passiveinvestorcoaching.com. It's the perfect next step to start building wealth through commercial real estate the right way. Remember, financial freedom isn't a dream, it's a decision, and it starts with building passive income. We'll see you in the next episode.